Well, it's that time again, and the doctor is in. Yeah, this is Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon, coming to you once again post-Thanksgiving. Post-us-Thanksgiving-us. Yeah. Anyway, here we go again with that wild and woolly program, because have you seen my photo on the website? Wild and woolly it is. The Dr. Bill, the Computer Curmudgeon Show, which of course is a podcast of the contents of the blog, thecomputercurmudgeon.com, that is www.thecomputercurmudgeon.com, thecomputercurmudgeon.com. I like the commercial, you know, where they have the thing with the .com. Anyway, I digress yet again. The point being that it's time once again for the podcast, and of course this week we do at least have the right headset on, and so the quality of the audio should be better, which is a good thing because last week it wasn't that good. Bummer. Anyway, we want to cover quite a few interesting things this week on the podcast. We've got so many things we want to cover that I don't know how we're going to get to them all, but we'll try to. And of course, as usual, we need to do our promo for the Tech Podcast Network. We are a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network, and so right here at the top of the program, let's hear from Nightwise.
This is Nightwise from the Nightcast over at www.nightwise.com, and you're listening to yet another fantastic show on the Tech Podcast Network.
I appreciate that, Nightwise from the Nightcast. Now, how does he know that it's an exciting show? He's not even on. It's a recording, but I guess he's just taking it by faith. At any rate, the Tech Podcast Network is a great place to get your tech fix, as is Dr. Bill, the Computer Curmudgeon, the blog, which we were talking about before I got off onto the promo for the Tech Podcast Network. This is, by the way, podcast number 64 for November the 25th. 2006, 5 days away from my birthday. How cool is that? And I'm going to be, I think, 51. I'm pretty sure that this is the 51st birthday. I was born in 55, so you figured out I don't do the math. It's too much trouble. In the meantime, let's go to the blog and find out where we are. We are here, you're there, and all's right with the world. By the way, don't let me forget that I have an email that I need to read later, okay? Just raise your hand in the back and let me know that I need to remember to do that. Okay, let's go into the blog, Wikis in the Enterprise. This is something that I talked about on November the 20th, which, given a little bit of math, slightly painless math, was 5 days ago. And, of course, we were talking about wikis. Wiki is a Hawaiian word meaning quick. And if you say wiki wiki, you're saying quick quick. Strange, isn't it? Anyway, I was listening to the news this morning, and one of our local news folk were talking about things on the web, and they mentioned Wikipedia, except she pronounced it Wackypedia. I just about couldn't stop laughing on that one. Wackypedia! And of course, it is somewhat wacky in some places, if you get my drift, but I just thought that was bizarre. Anyway, Wikis in the Enterprise. This is an interesting article that was taken from eWeek magazine, and which I get both electronically and in paper format. And this is an interesting thing because it parallels what was happening to me at work. I got an email from someone at work, and they were asking about, can we have a wiki? Well, of course, I'm just so accommodating and so nice. My tendency is to say, of course you're going to have a wiki. But I've learned, yes, I have, not to do that until you check with the higher ups. And so I sent my boss a message and said, hey, this person wants a wiki. Can we put up a wiki? I got no response. So I thought, well, you know, I'll just throw one up. And of course I knew, because of where I work and I know the rules there, they're not really interested in having a Linux server, so I thought, well, I'll do it with a Windows server. and I installed Apache and PHP and MySQL using WAMP server, which we'll talk about in just a few minutes on the Geek Software of the Week, so stay tuned for that. And anyway, so I set up the server. I set up the wiki using Wikimedia, which is actually a very cool wiki if you're looking for a good wiki to play with, and set it up, and I said, boy, this looks pretty cool. This works really neat. And I got kind of excited, and I said, you know, hey, I'll send that email to the boss again, and I said, hey, can we use the wiki that I just created? Here it is. Here's the link. Take a look at it. I heard nothing back. So I said, well, okay, I'm still not going to tell the user because I've gotten in trouble before by giving people things that weren't officially approved, so I'm going to wait. But then I got this article from eWeek about wikis in the enterprise, and it basically was making the statement, let me quote from the article, if you haven't heard that cry already, chances are you will soon, as the use of wikis in enterprise environments spread like wildfire. Basically, people are asking for wikis, which is exactly what happened. So I sent this article to my boss and said, people really want wikis. People are asking about them. Can we use them? I haven't heard anything yet. So I'm waiting. But in the meantime, that wiki is available, and I encourage you, if you're out there in the corporate world and people are asking for wikis, take a page out of the doctor's book. Don't just jump in there, because here's the reason. Many corporate folk are very conscious of control. Have you ever heard of CNC, command and control? They really want to be in control. And wikis, by their nature, are out of control. I mean, basically anybody can create an account, anybody can write anything, anybody can do anything. It's kind of a free-for-all, you know? It's kind of anarchy of the computer world. Now, you can lock it down somewhat. You can take privileges away, but that's very unwiki-like of you to do that. And so therein lies the problem. A lot of people scratch their heads and go, I don't know now. We need to be able to control this. And unfortunately, that's not the way wikis are really designed to be. So I'll wait and see what happens in my corporate world. Let's find out what happens in your corporate world, shall we? Okay. Here we go. It begins, and so it begins. Microsoft FUD on the Novell deal. That's fear, uncertainty, and doubt. Microsoft is already spreading the fear, uncertainty, and doubt. It's kind of like peanut butter. You know how you can spread peanut butter, and if you spread it really thin on bread, it kind of pulls chunks out of the bread and gets all globby and tears the bread into little pieces. And I'm digressing again. Aren't I? Am I not? Perhaps. But at any rate, what was I talking about? Do you remember? Oh, yes, yes. Microsoft FUD. Spreading the FUD. Spreading the fear, uncertainty, and doubt based on the deal with Novell. You see, they struck a deal with Novell where they paid Novell tons of money, and I'm not sure for what. And at the time, I said, I'm not sure why they're doing this. Well, let's read a quote from this article taken from the Seattle newspaper. Now, Seattle, of course, is near Redmond, where Microsoft is headquartered, so they kind of know what's going on there. So let's look at what it says. In a twist that underscored the unlikely nature of their alliance, Novell chief executive Ron Horspivian, say that three times fast, publicly distanced his company Monday for Microsoft Chief Executive Steve Ballmer's statement last week that the open-source Linux operating system contains patented Microsoft technology. Never mind, of course, that that's stupid. It couldn't possibly contain patented Microsoft technology, but that's okay. We'll let that go. Importantly, our agreement with Microsoft is in no way acknowledgement that Linux infringes upon any Microsoft intellectual property, Horspivian wrote in a letter to the open source community posted on Novell's website. He added, when we entered into the patent cooperation agreement with Microsoft, Novell did not agree or admit that Linux or any other Novell offering violates Microsoft patents. Responding to a question about the Novell deal at our conference in Seattle last week, Ballmer said that Linux uses our patented intellectual property. Ballmer from Microsoft said that Linux uses Microsoft's intellectual property. What? Steve, what have you been smoking, man? Anyway, never mind. And that one result of the pack was to appropriately compensate Microsoft for the intellectual property. Novell's Linux, SUSE Linux, is one of the many varieties of the open source operating system created by worldwide communities of programmers. In his remarks, Ballmer said, because of the Novell deal, not that only a customer who has SUSE Linux actually has paid properly for the use of intellectual property for Microsoft. What? And again, I say, what? Anyway, Ballmer has been smoking something rather bizarre, apparently, okay? By the way, pay no attention to the crunching of metal from the room next door. That's just something going on with crunching of metal in the room next door, okay? Right. Okay, Microsoft Office 2007 Switch O-Death. The Switch O-Death. It's like S-O-D, sod, Switch O-Death. All right, now, if you are going to get Microsoft Office, obviously you need to pay for it, right? You need to pay the nearly $500 for Microsoft Office, and you need to do it legally. Now, I'm not recommending you do that, okay? No, I would recommend you get OpenOffice because it's free. But if you're going to get Microsoft Office, you should pay for it. Now, let's say that you decided, oh, you had to have that whiz-bang, fantastic, amazing feature that no one in a million years will ever use that is in Microsoft Office 2007, and so you lay down your nearly $500 to buy the product. You get it home, you install it on your computer, it goes through and says, I must verify that this is an official, genuine copy. And so it goes out and it chugs and it runs the CPU, just goes crazy until it finally determines whether or not it's genuine. And it fails. Now, you happen to know that you paid your good $500 for it, and this is a genuine CD of Microsoft Office 2007, and you really did actually put it in your computer, and it chugged away, and it came back, and it said it was stolen. Now, in the old days, you'd just go, huh, that's weird, and you'd go on. Not a big deal. But with the Switch O-Death, when that happens, your Microsoft Office will shut down features so that it cannot create new documents. You can only view existing documents. You cannot edit them. And you can print documents, but you cannot save them. Thus rendering Office useless. Can you say useless with me? Useless, yes. Now, what can you do when this happens? Well, you could call Microsoft and you could give them a piece of your mind. Or you could just trash the sucker. Or you could take it back to the store and say, dude, give me back my almost $500 because I'm going to go online and download OpenOffice from OpenOffice.org for free. That's what you could do. All right. Infinite Mario Brothers. Whoa. What a name. Infinite Mario Brothers. Why would you call it infinite? Well, first of all, let's find out what it is. You go online to this website that I have a link to in my blog. It's called mojang.com/notch/Mario. Yeah. And there you will find a Java-based video game of the Mario Brothers, but here's what the guy did that wrote it. He wrote it in such a way that the maps are generated randomly, so you never go over the same map twice. So you can play infinitely, trapped in a world you never made with Mario. You shudder to think about it, I'm sure. Anyway, it's kind of a cool game. If you go online and play it, I mean, I'm not a big gamer. You know, I've told you that before. I'm just not much of a gamer. It enthralled me for all of about 2 minutes. And, you know, I jumped around with Mario, and I got coins and went ka-ching, ka-ching. And little things jumped on me, and it said game over, and there you go. Anyway, kind of strange, but a lot of fun, actually, to see how this guy used Java to implement Mario. Now, I can remember back in the days of yore, when Mario first came out, and there was lots of ka-chinging and do-do-do-do-do-do type stuff going on, and it was kind of fun, you know, like I said, for 2-3 minutes. Anyway, interesting. Check it out. And finally, the Geek Software of the Week. Now, let me say this first. I had one of our dear friends of the program send us an official drum roll. And that's cool. So, thank you, Joe, who sent the drum roll. And indeed, here is the drum roll that he sent for the Geek Software of the Week. Haven't had a chance to master it yet, you know, officially put it together. But it's kind of cool. And there it is. And it goes on. And on. And on. And it stopped. And I cut the sound off. Isn't that bizarre? Because when I slid the sound down to cut it off, it cut me off too. That's just odd. But anyway, my thanks to you, Joe, for sending the drum roll. That's the official drum roll for the Geek Software of the Week. And once I get it mastered up with the official symbol that he sent as well, we'll get it all going. But I didn't have time to get all that done, so I just wanted to play a little bit of it to let you know that people are responding to the request that the doctor makes on Dr. Bill the Computer Curmudgeon. I appreciate that. There you go. But I will put that together and we'll get that going. Okay? Now, you thought I got distracted and forgot about the Geek Software for the Week, didn't you? I almost did. You know, but I didn't. Okay. Geek Software for the Week this week is WAMP Server. WAMP Server. Strange name, I know. But first, you have to understand what WAMP is. WAMP is a derivation of LAMP, which, of course, is Linux, Apache, MySQL, and PHP. That team of four elements, Linux, Apache, MySQL, and PHP, runs the Internet, pretty much. Let's put it this way. All the stuff that I do on the Internet with my servers, pretty much all LAMP, okay? But you remember earlier in the podcast when I was talking about wikis and I said that where I worked I had to use a Windows server, there's where WAMP comes in. You take your basic virgin Windows server with nothing on it, just freshly installed. Then you download WAMP server. You run setup, just like any good, friendly Windowsy program, and it installs Apache 2.0.59, MySQL 5.0.27, PHP 5.2.0, PHP MyAdmin 2.3.0.3, and SQLite Manager 1.2.0. And of course, each iteration of WAMP Server updates the software. This just happens to be the latest version that I used when I did the wiki. So that's how I found the software. That's where it came from as far as highlighting it this week on the blog. And it worked, oh, smooth as silk. It was awesome. Okay? Because once I installed it, everything was configured properly. There was no tweaking of anything. It just plain was there and ready to go. Now, you gotta appreciate that if you're a Windows dude that doesn't know straight up about anything. So there you go. Install WAMP Server and enjoy the geekiness of Apache, MySQL, PHP, PHP MyAdmin, and SQLite Manager. And using SQLite Manager, I was able to create the database for the wiki, get it ready, then import the SQL code to create the database for the wiki, and then put the files out there under Apache and run them, and the wiki worked perfectly. Now, again, here's what I did. Windows 2003 server, although you don't have to use the server product, you can actually use Windows XP, but in my case, I use Windows 2003 server. I installed WAMP server, I got everything running. I then created the database, imported the SQL statements from the SQL file that came with MediaWiki, put the MediaWiki files out there, click, and it came right up. Oh, beauty. It was great. So there you go. WAMP server to the rescue, our geek software of the week. And you heard it here on Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon. Ah, such service we provide. Now, there's a question from one of our listeners, Jean. Dr. Bill, she writes, or he writes, I'm not sure. Jean could be male or female. Jean, sorry, I don't know from that name. Although, I tended to think it was a lady, because Jean with a J is usually a lady, as opposed to Jean with a G, which can usually be a male. But then, I don't know. And since I don't know, I should have not even brought it up. Okay? So I'm sorry. Okay, let's just read the letter. I'm so sad that Grisoff's AVG software, which was introduced to me from listening to your show, I think she's saying here that she said that it has expired, because she says, my question is, am I a loser if I don't want to pay for the upgrade after loving the service? Is it horrible to move on to another open software solution? Now, here's the thing. AVG Grisoft Antivirus, Grisoft's AVG Antivirus, I should have said, I reversed it, but that's okay, we'll keep going. Basically, 7.1 recently expired, okay? Because they came out with 7.5, and Grisoft, in a sneaky approach, puts up this message that says, your antivirus has expired. You need to go to the website and buy the version of the product. Which makes you think you need to buy a version of the product. Well, you can't blame them for trying, guys. But in reality, they still have a free version that's still free and doesn't expire. It's just that it's now the 7.5 free version. And so you need to go to that address, and I sent a link to the friendly individual who sent this email, and basically, I'll continue reading the email. I shouldn't have stopped reading. I should have read the rest of the email. You recently stated that we were not asking questions, but I sent a question requesting your backup storage suggestions. Ouch. I forgot. I'm sorry. It went unanswered. Please don't take this as a complaint. Actually, you know, I don't take it as a complaint, but I'm really sorry that I didn't answer it. You know, I'm really sorry. Sometimes things just slip by me, you know, because I'm just kind of multitasking all over the place, and I'm just sorry. Anyway, I just said that there are some of us faithful fans who try to help out. Keep doing your thing. Also, if you get a chance, could you suggest a replacement for our beloved Grisoff in the Dr. Bill recommended products? Well, here's the thing. I still recommend Grisoft's AVG, because it is still free. All you got to do is go to the link for the free Grisoft product, download the 7.5. Now, here's the trick that's kind of cool. You've already got 7.1 installed. Now, if you don't, fine, just download the product, install it, and you're done. But if you got 7.1 installed, you don't have to uninstall it first. You can run the setup for the 7.5 product, and it will come up with a screen that says, do you want to install, remove the old one, or repair? Now, it sounds a little weird to repair a 7.1 installation with a 7.5 installation. But in fact, that's what you can do. If you select repair, it will go out and upgrade. Now, see, they should have just put an upgrade. But I think the thing is, they're looking at 7.5 as like a whole new product compared to 7.1. So, anyway, you do the repair. It does the upgrade. It's happy. You don't have to pay for anything. It's still free. Life is good, and it's an even better product because now it's 7.5 instead of 7.1. Whoa. Gotta love that. Anyway, that's what I'd do if I were you. Now, on your question that I forgot about backup storage solutions, what I would do is I would go to Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon, and I would type in backup in the search. And you'll find that the very first thing that comes up is the Geek Software of the Week reference to Delta Copy. Delta Copy is rsync for Windows. Okay, and I talked about this a little bit on the podcast represented by that particular week. And so I won't go into it in great detail, but Delta Copy is really, really cool to be able to copy to, oh, say, an external hard drive. You could plug in a USB or FireWire hard drive and do your backups to that. Or if you have another computer and you want to back up your computer files to that other computer, and conversely, that computer's files to this other computer, cross-referencing one another, so to speak, then you have the redundancy of the fact that it's highly unlikely that both computers will die at the same time, and that you'll lose all the data on both drives at the same time. Chances are good only one would die, and then you'd still have all the data from both systems on the drive that survives. Now, if a nuclear bomb hits your house, blows it completely into atoms, and all your computers are destroyed, you know, I think you have concerns beyond your backups. Yes, indeed. However, if you want off-site backups, you could always back up to an external drive like a USB or FireWire and take that drive and store it off-site, meaning, oh, at a friend's house, or at your mom's house, or in a safety deposit box. That might be getting just a little extreme, but that's okay. That's okay. Depends on your data. How important is your data to you? Only you can answer that question. So there you go. Delta Copy. That's what I use. It's what I recommend. And Scott, I didn't forget you, though you might think I slid by the item to go directly to WAMP server. I just kind of jumped over it because I wanted to mention that the latest header on the website, Dr. Bill, the Computer Convention website, is a really cool graphic that Scott Redman, webmaster for Guilford County, did for me. You know, all of our headers are provided by Scott, and Scott, I really appreciate it a lot. But this one, I really like. Very Christmassy, very snowy, very wintry. But the Santa Claus. You gotta see the Santa Claus. I like it. He's leaning back. He's got attitude. He's got the grin. You can almost hear the ka-ching tinkle. And he's got the shades. Makes him look cool. All right? If you're gonna be Santa Claus, you might as well be cool. There you go. So, that's the podcast for this week. You may be saying, but Dr. Bill, you didn't have any geek culture. I know, I looked and I couldn't find anything that I really liked, you know, so we'll play just a little bit of All About the Pentiums, because I play that all the time anyway, and I like it a lot, you know, it's kind of like a theme song, you know what I mean? Except it's not my theme song, it's kind of, you know. Anyway, so I'm just going to rock here for a little while. And we're going to head on out of here using this as our exit music. Yeah. What you going to do? Want to be hackers, code crackers, slackers, wasting time with all the chat room yackers, 9-to-5 chilling at Hewlett Packard? Okay, I won't sing, okay? It's more of a rap thing anyway, so you're just kind of rapping along, you know what I mean? Anyway, remember, until next week, the doctor is out of here. Installed into one line at my house. Ah, yeah. Wouldn't I love to have a T-line, one line at my house? Maybe one day. You think your Commodore 64 is really Neo? What kind of chip you got in there, a Dorito?